All right, hello again, everyone, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me. Is that what I call the show? I can't even remember. I'm so nervous about doing this well now that here I go messing it up.
You're nailing it so far.
Okay, thankfully, thankfully. It's all been muscle memory at that point. This is a show about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. This particular part of the show is a subsection kind of category thing that I don't remember how I usually start the Comics Rule Everything Around Me episodes, but that's what this is. Comics Rule Everything Around Me, where we talk about comics. And as usual, to talk with me about comics is my good friend Matt Drain. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right, well, now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about comics. No, what's been going on?
Been good. I've been busy at work. Okay. Been doing some traveling, reading some comics.
There haven't been any more eclipses.
No.
No cosmic phenomena going on that were newsworthy.
No, I installed a gate on the fence in our backyard. So you have easy access to a Green Line Trail.
Okay, good, good.
So worked on that the last 2 days.
Okay. Well, for me, not that you asked or anything, but I'll talk about what's been going on with me since it is a little bit more comic related. This last weekend was Memphis Comic Expo, which was, as always, a lot of fun. That one year where I got sick was not so much fun. And when it was in a bad location, was not much fun. But it was back at the Agri Center this year, and that was super great. And it's a great space to have a comic convention in, because it's, you're not used to being in comic conventions and there being tons of wonderful actual light, just wonderful daylight streaming in.
You're not in a dungeon somewhere.
Exactly. You're not in just a rectangle.
Basement of a hotel or something.
Basement of a hotel or something like that. Yeah, exactly. And it's very, it's just like a good open, airy, like, it's a good spot. I really enjoy having it there as opposed to some, like you said, like the basement of a hotel or something. And the show went a lot better than I expected it to for me, like in that, did good business, I'll say, and had people, met people that I had never met before, but who were like, came up and were like, oh, I'm a big fan of Let's Be Friends Again. I was like, that's weird. That's an interesting thing. And then
is this people at the expo or these other creators?
No, people at the expo. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, not other creators. Oh, one awesome thing did happen though, as far as with another creator. I mean, I got to hang out with my friends and stuff who I don't get to see other than at comic conventions, basically, which was great. Didn't get to hang out as much as I would have liked to, but you know, that's kind of how it always seems to be. But I had a guy come by. He was like walking by the table and saw that I had a little picture of Ultraverse character Prime that I'm awfully fond of. I had a little picture of Prime and he was like, oh, cool, Prime. And I was like, wow, that's something no one ever says when they walk by the table. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I did a couple issues of not of Prime, but of other Ultraverse book, The Strangers.
Okay.
Which was not their Justice League / Avengers sort of team, and also not their X-Men sort of team. I don't know what you... I'm sort of like, I don't know who their...
Fantastic Four?
No, they're more
Doom
like...
Doom Patrol-y team?
Yeah, maybe more like Doom Patrol. Some, you know, sort of like an... one of the more like sort of outsider teams.
This guy wrote it or drew it?
He drew a couple issues of it, he said. And he was there as a guest. I mean, like, he was down from me. But he was like, and then he came, he was like, oh, that's so cool. And like, he was pointing it out to his wife or girlfriend, whoever the lady that was walking with him was. It was just really neat. I was like, wow, that's so cool. But then like, to make it even better, then the next day he came back and like basically bought like one of everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, holy cow. So you weren't joking. Like usually when people say they'll be back, they're lying.
That's just a polite thing to say.
And it's just, you know, you could also just leave. It's fine. You know, we're used to it. But yeah, but he came back and was just like, yeah, let me get one of all of it. You know, it was really cool. But also just the fact that I was like, he was involved in a thing that, you know, of all the things for, you know, that people, it's like, oh, you found the guy that would, the other person at the show who's probably excited to hear about, anyway. But the show was a lot of fun and it was good getting to see everybody. And then also Sunday was my birthday. And Saturday night, we had a party, and coincidentally, April had put together the party, but then, like, coincidentally, also where we were having the party was also where the after party for the Comic Expo had was going to be held. So there was...
Is that planned in advance or...
The show was... I mean, my birthday being there was planned well in advance. I don't know how planned in advance this was, but it was great because then it made it very easy to get people from the show to come, who I wanted to come to the, you know, birthday business, also showed up, including who, of course, I never would have tried to invite him, but it was very neat to see him there. The Black Power Ranger from Power Rangers. Yeah. I guess I should say the Black Ranger from Power Rangers. Because if I say the Black Power Ranger, that makes it sound like I'm talking about that he's black, which is not what I was trying to
say. Right.
I'll cut all this out.
not ethnicity, but color of costume.
Yes. Well, and what was black funny Ranger. Is April has like no like she didn't watch Power Rangers as a kid or anything, and so when she heard us talking about like when I got to the party, other people had already gotten there. And the first thing that everyone said to me when they saw me was like, dude, the Black Ranger is here. Walter E. Jones is his name. Because he was at the show. But it was just like to be able to tell people, it's like, oh, yeah, the Black Ranger's here at my birthday party. But everybody was like so excited to tell me, like, dude, the Black Ranger is here. And April was saying, though, that she was like, at first she... didn't, because she isn't familiar with the Power Rangers, she was like, is everyone suddenly being racist? And then she like figured out like, oh no, wait, they're talking about the outfit. Any hoodles. So that was pretty neat. I did not talk to him or anything, but, there was multiple opportunities I could have gone and just like introduced myself or like asked for a picture, right, or something. But it seemed like a lot of people were bothering him, and
they're there to chill at that point and relax a little bit.
So I was like, I'll just let him, I'll leave him be. It's enough that I was excited just to, I don't need a Power Ranger there. I was just excited to see a bunch of my friends who, you know, don't get to see all the time. So that was what's been going on with me. Let's get to the business. Let's talk about some comics. What have you been reading lately?
I've been reading a lot of DC still. Read most of Justice League, you know, series since Rebirth. That's not wowed me. I've not been very excited about
it. I think
your
reviews to me off the microphone have been much more scathing.
Yeah. Do not read Justice League. No, I'm at the point
now,
where...
to be clear, you're talking about the Justice League book that is written and sometimes drawn by Brian Hitch.
That's the one.
As opposed to the one that's called Justice League of America, which is
Orlando.
Yeah, which is written by Steve Orlando. And what I've read of that one, I'm like way behind on it. Right. What I've read of that one, I've enjoyed.
Yeah, of the Hitch Justice League, I've gotten to where I don't like saying stuff is just bad, but it's definitely not for me. Like there's stuff that I really don't enjoy that some people will say, hey, I really did. That's fine. It doesn't have to be for me.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking to my brother about the Netflix Marvel series.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't enjoy...
Of the Justice League?
No. I didn't enjoy Iron Fist at all. Like that one was definitely not for me. And David said, that was my favorite one. I like that better than Daredevil. I like that better than all of them. And I was like, okay, that hit us totally differently. So, hey, maybe there's someone out there that hitches Justice League. They're loving it. It's baller. For me, it's not
clicking.
Yeah, it's not quite clicking.
I will throw in and say that I also have not enjoyed what I read of it. And obviously the problem's not on the art side, even though he's definitely not drawing much of it. It kind of like runs together to me with that Justice League book that he was doing before Rebirth.
They basically flow right together. Yeah.
Which, and that book was like so behind, because of course it is, because it's by Brian Hitch.
And I like the pre-Rebirth one better. I thought that was a better...
That seems comic. Like maybe... I just finished editing our last episode. We were talking about... You brought up the idea that big story he started that with being a Mark Miller idea.
That's my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and I think it's a great conspiracy theory now that I have had the chance to like think on it a little more. Because it's like there's tons of stuff in that really reads 100% now. Like, oh, this is a Mark Miller idea. You know, like all this stuff is stuff that he and like
right.
their big ideas for stuff where they had talked about it and talked about it. And it's like, that's why suddenly he's a writer.
Right.
Which, I mean, I think he had maybe done like one thing writing wise before. And I don't want to like discount his talent because he's obviously very talented.
Oh, yeah. And it looks fantastic.
But also, it's like when you can draw like that, you don't have to know how to write. It's fine. You know, if you can if you can do all that stuff, I'm kind of fine with you not being a good writer. But it's like you and I have said this to each other like over and over and over, is that that book should be your home run
flagship book.
Yeah. That should be like something that's, I mean, and maybe they're trying to, between it and that Justice League of America, maybe you put them together, it's one flagship book. But man, seems like maybe he doesn't want to have a co-writer, but I'm like, maybe get somebody who's a little better at writing. Also though, I feel like I see stuff like this in the things that like irk me in that, and I've talked about this before and on other podcasts, where it's like nothing takes me out of being able to enjoy a comic like bad dialogue.
Right.
I can like put up like a story can be ridiculous or like kind of outlandish or even like a weak premise or you know something, but it's like if people respond to things in a either in like a realistic way or in a completely unrealistic way, but that matches the world that they're in. And I go, okay, but man, when you just have people saying stuff where it's like, no one in a million years would talk like this.
Right.
Or like in this situation, or it's like, it doesn't make sense for Thor to be quippy like Spider-Man, you know, like, or stuff like where it's just, I can't, that immediately just leaps out at me and like can ruin something for me. You know, like the art can be great. The overall, or it's like, it doesn't even have to be like really bad dialogue. Even if it's just like, weak dialogue or dialogue where you're going, there is, we get what's going on. This is a visual medium,
right?
Like I see what's happening.
Unnecessary dialogue.
Yeah. Unnecessary
just
dialogue.
Just have words on a page.
Stuff where were you just going like, why are you yammering about this while this fist fight is happening or any number of things? Like in that, there's like a recent issue of Superman where I was like, the art was good. The idea in the story and most of the what's happening in the writing is totally fine. But then it's like you've got people saying stuff where you're just like, oh. Each one of those sort of like feels like a not a strong punch, but like just a little kind of like irritating jab to your ability to enjoy the story. Or for me at least. I have no idea why it's such a thing for me.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're listening, you may enjoy Justice League, and that's fine.
Sorry.
But it's not for me.
Yeah.
I did like the crossover, the Justice League versus Suicide Squad. That was a fun story. Also, Red, we talked, I think last time we recorded, about that Wildstorm sale, and I got the Mr. Majestic, the first two series. And I've read the whole first series, started the second series. I'm enjoying it so far. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's like it was funny after like talking about that, and I was like so excited to read all that stuff. The problem was that then I got so much of that Wildstorm stuff that then I was like reading things here and there, and then it was like, oh no, it's time to do the thing. And when you said you had, like, you know, you'd said something about having read all of that, and I was like, oh, he's ahead of me now. So that was no good. But yeah, like, Mr. Majestic, I'd like to have some time, like try to like maybe talk about that more in depth.
Yeah, we can come back to it.
I mean, and maybe like once we'll read the entire run of it, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, and then see. But unfortunately, it's probably not still on sale. Maybe it'll be on sale again at some point, or maybe just check it out, get the first issue and see what you think. The first issue is very Wildstorm centric in that it is, before the sale to DC happened.
Right.
So there's like no Superman in that universe. Mr. Majestic is very clearly.
There were a couple of Easter eggs. Like there was a little Superman toy on the top of someone's monitor.
Ed McGinnis loved putting stuff like that.
Yeah.
In. And there's stuff in there that's very clearly sort of, beyond just Majestic sort of, there's other stuff that's sort of analogous to Superman things. But, I think you described it to me as, when you were like, I don't know what I was expecting. You said something like, I don't know what I was expecting, but this was not what I was, what I thought.
Yeah, it was different.
It was all like very, each issue is standalone, kind of one-off story, even though I think it is kind of
for the first five or six issues. Yeah, it's a standalone, big concept, bonkers, kind of
Morrison-esque.
Yes.
Big ideas.
Yes.
Someone trying to, a certain writer named Joe trying to prove like, hey, I've got big crazy ideas too, maybe. I like how I'm saying that, like, oh yeah, nice one. Like he didn't do a good job, which is not at all the case, because I think he did a great job.
Yeah, so a little, if this sounds like something you would like to read, the first issue is Mr. Majestic has to rearrange the solar system to make
our solar system
invisible to some coming giant or
unrecognizable
predator that's coming
along. It's basically like Galactus is coming and Superman has got to change our universe enough that
he won't recognize it when he passes
Galactus
by.
When he shows up after his probe has said, oh, this is a good universe for you to come destroy. It's not Galactus, but you get the idea. Yeah, for him to come and say, like, oh, wait, this isn't the same place. Gotta go. Like, I guess I'll just go ahead and take off. But then it takes him
decades to do it.
And he has to do it all, like, because it's such a huge undertaking. It's it takes him decades to do, and he has to do it all, like, really precisely and with big, crazy sci-fi ideas and working with all these geniuses on Earth,
right.
But with people going like, I swear the stars do not look like they used to, you know, and people like getting, I mean, and this is all just throwaway stuff, but it's like really, it was funny and like really stuck out to me, that idea of like, you know, people like Oliver Stone going like, compare this to this, and like talking about the stars don't line up the same way anymore. Crazy. Yeah.
So if that sounds like something you'd like to read, check it out. It's fun. And all that's just in like 20-something pages. That's just the first issue.
That's just the first issue. That's the kind of thing, it's like the opposite of what I feel like a lot of comics would do now, where I'll say this about every issue of Majestic, especially, well, at least in that those opening ones, very much you feel like you're getting your money's worth story-wise,
right.
As far as like, I feel like I read something of, you know, with some meat to it, even though it's like, I don't know. That's a lot of stuff to have happen in one. And it's just like from page to page, you're like maybe jumping like a decade. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's what I've been reading. What have you been reading?
Well, last night I reread, or not last night, night before last, I reread all of The Vision. I didn't plan on reading the whole thing. I was like, oh, I'll just start this up again. Man, that is a really good. I mean, we've said this before, but I think we talked about Tom King a lot in the last episode. But he's a guy who's like really doing it. Although I will say, the War of Jokes and Riddles is still going on. The new issue of that just came out today, and that's all still going on. And we still, I don't feel like we're. I haven't read the new issue yet, but I don't feel like we're any closer to knowing if this thing is gonna. If this story is going to land or not, if that makes sense. But The Vision sure does. Because, man, and now that's a comic where last week Sydney asked us, what's a good comic to sort of keep you
get your mind off
what's going on in the real world?
Stuff.
Yeah. And I think that this comic is a great comic to get your mind off of what's going on in the real world because it's so engaging. But. I think it might put you in, I don't know if I want to say a bad mood, but it's
not,
like,
it's not uplifting, but that
but I also think it kind of is.
Has moments. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like by the end of it, it's like, it's a sad ending, but it's also like kind of a happy ending.
And there's humorous moments and joyful moments.
Oh, there's like throughout, but I mean, ultimately the story, but you know, from like the first couple pages of the first issue.
Right. He uses that device.
It's
to kind
crazy
of let you know
that
it's
like,
doomed.
Yeah. He tells you from the beginning, like, this is all going to go badly. And the fact that he does that and you still, when things go badly, it's, it catches you off guard.
Right.
And reading some of the stuff that he talks about in the letters column, where he's talking about, like, I had this idea where I was like, oh, I bet this can be one of those things where it's like, oh, when they turn the page, then it'll be this. And it's like, I know that's going to surprise people, or I hope it's going to surprise people. And for the most part, I feel like he was definitely right on those individual things. But it's like such an interesting... I was thinking about how, you know, we talked about how that first arc in Batman that he's in, the Batman that he's doing, didn't do much for me. And then I started the more I've tried to think about it, the more I think that kind of comes down to David Fincher's art.
Right. Because you like the second arc better, Suicide, which I love that.
Well, and I just think about, like, it seems like none of his stuff, it seems like none of Tom King's stuff deals with, like, there's never like big superhero action stuff. Everything seems to really be about the characters. Mm-hmm. And then you have stuff you have superhero action-y type stuff happening, but it's like window dressing for like what's going on with the characters. Like, there's a part in the Vision where it's sort of like retelling the story of Vision and Scarlet Witch. And, you know,
they've got big fights in the background. And
the big fight is happening. Like, this famous big, you know, this famous big fight, Avengers battle is going on in the background, and they're hiding behind a tree smooching, you know, and like talking about, like, come on, we've got to get back to this. We got to stop smooching and get back to this fight. And it's like, you don't care what's going on with the fight because you're so...
Yeah, the character development's so strong.
Yeah, the story with the characters is what matters. And it's like, in a good comic or in a good movie or whatever, it's like action stuff, when action stuff happens, it only matters if you care about the characters. Right. So then when surprising big moments of action or in the... There's some definite action in the first issue of The Vision. I won't spoil it in case you haven't read it, but there's two very notable... dramatic action scenes or moments or where something happens and it's very, and there's a bunch of those moments sort of like sprinkled throughout where it's like a big action moment happens, but it's like, you know, it's basically like it's a moment, it's not like a whole big fight,
right?
And there's a part where towards the end of the series where Vision does get in a big fight, but you don't even see much of it. It's all very you know, because it's like he's about to get in this big fight and then it cuts to someone else.
Right.
You know, what's going on with someone else somewhere else. So I was thinking about, like, that's after rereading that and it just being so good and being like so wrapped up in it. And I was going like, oh, that's why. And I was like, maybe that's also why some of this Batman stuff didn't feel like it didn't like line up as well. But part of it may have been like a problem on my end of going like my ideas of what this book was going to be maybe need to be realigned.
Right.
But when you have David Finch drawing it, I'm expecting one thing.
Right.
And it's like, if, you know, if the artist for this had been, oh shoot, I'm completely blanking on the person that draws Vision. Matt's going to look it up.
I've got it.
It's, you know, it's one of those, I cannot believe that it's like, I'm blanking on it so hard. I know Gabriel is in there. It's
Walta.
Yeah.
Gabriel Hernandez Walta.
I knew there was like a middle name in there that I couldn't, but I was like, is Gabriel the middle name or is it anyway, not important. Or very important. I take that back. It's very important.
His art is fantastic.
And his art makes it so, like, captures some of this stuff. And, like, have you looked at any of those Vision Director's Cut issues?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Those are so cool, like, seeing sort of the genesis of some of these. And I would not recommend, if you haven't read Vision, I wouldn't go run out and pick up the... Oh, wait. What am I saying? You can get, I don't know if you saw this, but there's this insane Marvel sale going on.
The Amazon one?
On Kindle. Yeah. Which, and of course, since Amazon owns Comixology now,
right.
If you buy Kindle comics, they show up in your Comixology account too. And we talk about this as much as we talk about Comixology and Marvel Unlimited. Oh, and let me say this too, just because I learned this, and I think this is kind of like an interesting thing. As much as we talk about liking Marvel Unlimited, I found out recently in the last like week or two, I think Kelly Sue DeConnick said at a panel at a convention a couple of weeks ago that the artists and writers and on down the line get paid for Marvel Unlimited stuff based on like page views.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's which is cool. Pretty weird. But it's like, hey, if you like these comics, if you're reading them on there, the creators are getting something from them.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Worth knowing. I don't know how it works with something like Comixology, but I assume that it's, from that it's based strictly on sales. But then with Marvel Unlimited, if you're reading it, they know.
They're tracking what's getting read and what's just sitting there.
So read the things that you think are worth reading, that you like, so they know that, oh, this is worth having on here. Maybe instead of just like going and digging out if you've got Marvel Unlimited, that is, instead of like going and digging out the issue, you could go like, oh,
if you're a comics fan, Marvel Unlimited is such a great,
it's amazing. I mean, there's still investment. Stuff that isn't on it. It's not everything. I mean, there are weird random like series from the 90s or something that's not on. There was like something I went to try to find the other day and I was like, oh, that's not on here. That's weird. I mean, and just because it was some like random, 90s something that I was trying to find, but they put new stuff on it every week. So anyway, so Marvel Unlimited,
Amazon sale.
Yes. This sale that Kindle is having on Marvel trades is absolutely bonkers.
And there's no way to know how long it lasts because it's not posted.
Yeah, it's not posted, but you can get the all 12 issues of Vision, including the bonus galleries and letters pages and all that stuff. You can get both collections. It's all 12 issues divided into two trades. You can get both of those for $4.40.
Wow. That's good.
You can get, if you've never read it, one of the best X-Men stories of all time, X-Men God Loves, Man Kills, for 80 cents. You can get, it's just ludicrous. I got all six volumes of the Fantastic Four by Jonathan Hickman for $12.
That's amazing.
It's just, it's madness. I'm like, what are you pulling here? Like, what are you trying to do here? I bought the only issue is you can't like do a cart with Kindle stuff. It's basically just says like buy with one click.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought so many trades in this that my bank thinks they cut me off.
they thought something fishy was going on.
Yeah, because it's like
all these microtransactions.
Yeah, all these microtransactions, and it's like he doesn't normally do this. It's like normally if I buy something from Amazon, it's like I'm buying one. It's like normally he buys stuff from Amazon, and it's sort of like a big number.
And before Prime, it's like how I need to lump these things together in a single purchase.
Got
to
get that free shipping. But there's so much good stuff. I couldn't even like make you up a list of good stuff to check out.
Yeah, you just gotta scroll through it.
Same deal. Like you can get both volumes, the entire series of Black Widow, if you haven't read that yet, by Chris Somney and Mark Waid.
All of Slott's Spider-Man is on there. Bendis's Spider-Man and Avengers is on there.
I'm trying to think. If you've never read it, all of Grant Morrison's X-Men, New X-Men is on there. And those collections that are like, and it's like pennies on the dollar for some of the, they're like, some of them are like, 95% offers. It feels suspicious almost. I'm like, what? Something's going to happen now where then...
It's too good to be true.
But they do these, it seems like maybe once a year they do this crazy sale. But this one seems bigger than previous ones even. So pretty wild. Get on that, please, everyone. No idea what we were talking about to get back to... Oh, Vision. I was saying, you should read The Vision. It's great. The art is amazing. The colors are great. Top to bottom.
Yeah.
There's some places.
It'll make you think. It'll make you emotional.
Yeah. Seriously? And I, I don't know. This is 100% real, but it was like, I got to the end of that, you know, that last issue, and no joke, like it was a movie or a commercial or something, like single tear runs down my cheek. And I was just like, man, this is so good. The thing that made me realize like just how good and engaging it was, like really kind of said something to me about it, besides just, oh, I'm reading this and I can tell that it's good, was, you know, I'll often have just like have the TV on something, when I'm working on set or like, but if I'll a lot of times I'll like be working on something and go like, oh, I'm going to read this now. And, usually I just leave stuff on and it's like, but I was like, so wanted to focus in on that as I started reading it, you know, like got an issue or two in and I was like, please let's turn this off. I just want to focus on this. It's like so engrossing. And it's like, I want to make sure I'm not missing a moment, a look, you know, a little something in the story that.
Cause yeah, there's a lot of little stuff there that, I think it lends itself towards rereading it, multiple reads.
Absolutely.
I know going back through Omega Men, you know, I caught stuff I didn't catch on the first pass. Grayson has a lot of that stuff too, just little stuff that if you're just doing a casual read, you might miss it. But man, yeah, everything's just so well thought out. The conversations are really brilliantly written. And
well, and all of a sudden, I remember thinking like, what's funny is so. In those director's cut issues, you get to see, I don't think it's the entire script in each issue, but it's like parts of the actual script.
And see how that got turned into thumbnails. And
yeah. And sometimes it's just like a couple pages of the script and then a page of thumbnails to completion or, you know, some of that stuff, you like just see it on the page, just words. And you're like, this feels so much more simple than that page ends up becoming. And you go like, nope, I completely lost my train of thought. I was thinking about the Twitter questions. Well,
do we have any we want to jump to?
No, and the funny thing is so I mentioned that we were going to be talking about Tom King's vision in this episode, and he retweeted it. Which is great because then a lot of people are also seeing it and liking it and retweeting it. But then no one's asking questions. So what are you going to do? Not much.
We can come back to him.
Yeah. It's really going to drive me crazy that I can't remember where I was going with that. I'll probably remember what was going on and then like I'll want to edit it back in when I'm fixing, when I'm editing this. So what I'm saying is it's like going to... This is not what I was saying just then. This is going back to the Batman stuff. David Finch's art feels like such an odd fit for the way that Tom King writes because it is so character-based. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of David Finch's people have like one expression. And it's like that's not so good when you've got someone who's telling like a really nuanced, you know, kind of thing about someone's personal struggles. Personal, like emotional struggles with what's happening in their life in the midst of riding on an airplane, you know, that's about to crash into downtown Gotham. So but I was trying to imagine like if all of that stuff, you know, some of those, because he draws it like a big action movie.
Right.
And it's like, you know, if somebody else was writing this, it would just be about the whole thing would the story would be about, oh, how's he going to stop this plane or whatever. But like the way that Tom King writes is it's not about it. The action stuff is like,
right. It's about, yeah, about the character, where his heart's at, you know, how does this affect how he relates to other characters?
Yeah. It's all of that stuff. So it's like, it just feels like such a,
oh, my parents proud of me. Those are the kind of things
exactly.
You get to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if some other writer was doing this, it's like it would just be about, how is Batman going to stop this plane? And it's just, it's so hard.
And maybe the little exposition boxes would be the speed of the plane and the metal tearing apart. And instead we get a glimpse into Batman's heart.
And yeah. And like Tom King, the way that Tom King writes it is that it's about, exactly. It's about, are my parents proud of me? So I wish someone else had drawn those. And it makes me think like, oh, that would be really interesting if maybe he had done it with Gabriel Hernandez Walta. It's that middle, having the three names.
I wonder what Walta's doing now. I don't know if they've got him on now.
He was doing before that. He did that Magneto miniseries or not?
You're right. He was on Magneto. That's right.
With before that Cullen Bunn was writing.
Mm-hmm. I did read that.
So man, yeah, Vision, very very good. That's the kind of thing that's tough to talk about. Is like if people haven't read it, I don't want to.
Spoil that.
There's experience. Like no part of that I would want to like give away, because it's like, and I think this is what I was trying to talk about earlier, is like it's amazing. Some of that stuff seems so simple on the page when you just see like individual pages. You go like, all right, it just says panel one, they're flying, you know, like panel two, but it's like some of it is like way less detailed than I sort of imagined it would be, mm-hmm. based on how specific some of the stuff is happening, the way some of the stuff looks. And you go like, oh, this seems easy. You know, like it's just, but then there's also things that happen that you have to really be paying attention for that, like,
cause they'll call back to it.
They'll come
eight,
back
eight issues or so.
Or yeah. Or it's like, it's something happens and you go like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense now. But I was not thinking about that at all when I read the first issue,
right.
You know, or even things within issues. And you go like, that's where the real trick that makes this special of some of this stuff is. Like, and like I said, that the fact that he tells you in the first issue, like in the first couple pages, he's like, this is all going to go terribly. Mm-hmm. But then like, not only is it like, as it goes terribly, you're going, oh, that surprised me. But you're also, as it's going, you care so much about, he's making you care so much about
you want it
characters.
To be wrong. You want it to,
and you're going like, no, 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 please don't. Yeah, exactly. You want it to not happen. Anyway, all right. Matt's got to go, which is fine, because since we didn't get any Twitter questions, if anyone does eventually ask Twitter questions, we'll come back and answer those. But anyway, thank you guys so much. Follow Matt on Twitter, @MattDrain.
That's it.
Anything else you want people to know or follow or do anything with?
No, that's it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll just leave you with this. You good?
I'm good.
You're like, I show up good.
No hiccups.
Yeah.